You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everyone, it's Jill Sullivan Gruter with, of course, Gimme Shelter. We are going coast to coast talking about animal rescues that need major renovations. So along with me, I've got JB Byrne, our project leader, Drew Davis, our jack of all trades, and our British bloke, Simon McAllister, our master electrician. So join us, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10. LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, which you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/shelter and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/shelter. S-H-E-L-T-E-R.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley. The giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out in the world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everyone, it's Jill Sullivan Gruter, your team leader for Gimme Shelter. I've got JB Byrne, our project leader, Drew Davis, our jack of all trades, and of course our English bloke, Simon McAllister, our master electrician. Today, Simon, Drew, and myself sit down with Marilyn Wolkowitz, the president of the Greyhound Adoption Services in Salisbury, Massachusetts. It's been around since the 1980s. It's a no-kill shelter and has rescued and adopted out over 2,000 greyhounds to date. It is a wonderful place, but in desperate, desperate need. So our goal is to tear it down and rebuild it in September. We are so excited, so we wanted to bring Marilyn to you so that you get an in-depth look at what it takes to run this rescue and how it is just the heart of Marilyn's life. Also, make sure to check out our video cast on the Pet Life Radio website. We are so excited to bring you right along with us. All right, so this is Marilyn Wolkowitz, and she is the president of the Greyhound Adoption Services in Salisbury, home of our next renovation. Very exciting.
Very good.
Yeah, we're so excited. What do you think, Marilyn, first of all?
Oh, Lord, I can't believe I was chosen.
I know. So let's start there. So I know that Deborah, one of your great volunteers, did she hear about it? We actually sent you an email.
You had actually sent it to the webmaster.
Right.
And yes, so she said, oh, God, we've got to at least apply for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that point on, it just, thank God, took hold.
Absolutely. Well, when we came here, that's the thing, you know, when Drew and I were walking in, we said the whole sort of premise of this the renovation is that you can't really judge a book by its cover, right? I mean, really, because when you come in, it's so warm. I mean, that's what we were saying, right? I mean, it's so warm, and you're doing such a great job, and this is really the reason why we do it. You know, this is the reason why we're doing what we do, because it's rescues like this that deserve, you know, to really be rebuilt and to thrive, you know. So let's talk a little bit about, so your rescue has been around since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it get started?
Actually, I had, my aunt had approached me about adopting a greyhound. She said, could you go over to the track? At that time, the Regap was one of the first adoption.
Now, that place. Was the Seabrook Greyhound.
Seabrook Regap.
Yep.
And it was a Beth, I remember was her name. And my aunt, to make a long story short, did not adopt a dog, but I had fallen in love with this little fawn female. And for 4 days, I kept thinking about her, thinking about her, thinking about her. And I brought her home. Mm-hmm. And then I really started looking into greyhounds and what was, how many young greyhounds that were finished with their racing career had no place to go. And we had built this kennel for the Afghans that I had at the time, and I had empty pens, and I said, why not start taking in greyhounds? And we were trying to figure out, how could we do this? And we decided, there was another woman up in New Hampshire that we both had partnered at the time, and we said, well, if we, because then money was really tight, we said, why don't we just get them spayed, neutered, as people speak for them, all the vet work done, and then, of course, move on to the next dog. And we just started doing it slowly that way, as one dog would sort of pay for the next dog.
Go on and on,
and that's what we did. She had actually set up a back room in her house with about 6-8 cages. And again, we started with probably 10 cages in here. Again, Afghans were still in some of them, and we just started building on it. And
no, were you working at the time?
At the time, yes. Not for long after that.
Because this is a full-time job.
I have never realized in my life, when I just had the Afghans, it just wasn't the work that there were with the greyhounds. It just was, because I kept taking him in. I hate to admit that, right. But I kept taking in more and more. And as you can see from the original pens, and we brought in crates and everything.
Right.
And
were you keeping them in the house until?
No, I kept some as foster dogs per se in the house, and adopted some of them from the house, but most of them were out here with...
Oh, so you started this from kind of day one when you...
Yeah, this was in 82, actually, this kennel was built, and again, it was basically my Afghans were more the Afghan males than anything else, because I was breeding at the time, and they were intact, and they were peeing all over the house, so I kept
putting them out.
But
what about, so it's not like you had sort of had a history of raising greyhounds or owning greyhounds.
Oh, absolutely not.
So what was it about their sort of personality?
I just loved their demeanor. Sandy, my original greyhound, I had quite a few cats at the time. She was wonderful with the cats. She was wonderful with every person that came into the house. I was just amazed at her disposition and everything. And then I, of course, 9 months later, decided to get another one of my own. And Annie was unbelievable. I mean, she was just super dog. Unfortunately, she died young, but she was a super, super, super dog. And just, again, I can't believe what loving, caring animals these really are.
Right.
And it just kept me going and going and going, and where standing here in this kennel right now, and look at them.
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
If we were in a regular all-breed kennel, they'd be barking
carrying on. They go mental. Because they're just all excited, and one winds the other up. But these just all, they all seem to have their own... They had their own thing going
on.
There's dogs
and then there's greyhounds.
Well, that's the thing. So people on our podcast know, I mean, we are standing right in the middle of Maryland's rescue. And how many dogs do you have here today?
There's 16.
16.
16 dogs. You know? Not a
peep. And then Tabasco, one of the dogs.
Whining.
Yeah, a little bit of whining. But, I mean, we're right in the heart of it. They can all see us. And they're just wonderful animals. So, Marilyn... There's one thing where you love, I love labs, and so I have a couple of labs. But what is it that you sort of drew you to actually starting a rescue? I mean, this is more than a full-time job. I mean, you're doing so much work with so many animals. I mean, what is it that keeps you going every day?
I've probably met some of the most, including you people, the most wonderful people in my life. Just doing this type of work. I mean, it's just the people keep me going and the dogs keep me going. It's just when you see an animal go into a wonderful, caring home and people tell you that this dog has actually made their life, how important this dog is to them, how can you stop?
Right.
Yeah. You just keep going.
How many volunteers do you have here now?
Oh gosh, numerous. Every day of the week, they're totally dedicated.
Yeah,
and I think there's only one volunteer that's been here any less than 3 years, but. Everybody's been here for 10, 12, you know, it's been a long time, and they don't have to. They're not getting paid.
And that's what I notice about this rescue, too, is like on our Facebook page, whenever we talk about, you know, that this is our next renovation, people are coming out of the woodwork saying, well, we've adopted from Maryland years ago, you know, or I love Maryland, and it's just so interesting to me that you have such a following. You know what I mean? It really says a lot about the kind of care that you're taking for the animals. And that's why, you know, these renovations are so great, because now the facility matches the care. You know what I mean? And so that's what we're trying to do. So there are a lot of struggles here.
Oh, God, there's too many struggles here. And again, I've gotten to the point where I'm actually embarrassed when somebody sets up an appointment because I'm so afraid that they won't see.
They won't see the forest through the trees. They're going to just come in.
It's a dilapidated building, and oh my God, we got to get the dog out of there because it's not cared for.
Right.
Yeah. And if they ever saw behind the scenes where every volunteer here is giving these dogs over and above attention and care.
All the care goes to the dogs and not the surroundings.
Well, see, that's the thing that people don't realize.
They don't realize that.
Yeah, because they don't see the fact that when they come in, they have this preconceived notion that, well, the place is really not that great a shape, so the dogs must not be in that great a shape.
It's a non-profit.
Back up. No, the place is not in the greatest shape because they're spending all the time with the dogs and they don't have the time to actually be able to.
It's the money. We have dogs coming in with injuries, broken legs, et cetera, you've got to take care of. Like Rex with his skin condition and everything, you've got to not turn your back on the problems that the animals have and say, oh, gee, well, let's put on a new roof. Let's do this. If we don't have the money and
the animals are the priority.
The health of the animals is top priority. And after that, then whatever we can fit in, we fit in.
What do you think in your daily life here, doing what you do, what do you think is one of the biggest hindrances to you that makes it more difficult to do it? I mean, what thing would stand out in your mind more quickly than others?
I hate to say it, but it's this stink. Well, in my problems with my knee right now, it's the floor.
The floor is
just
so uneven.
Just walking, and yep. It's yeah. Even the outside.
It's so uneven.
It's,
you know, it's
everything is uneven, and it's killing me right now. Yeah. And even these top crates, jumping the dogs out of the top crates, it's putting pressure on you every time you jump somebody
right.
out of the top crate. And it would be just so much easier if all the dogs were in regular runs and pens where you could just still, you know, obviously turn them out. But the turnouts are nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just turn them out in the yard, they play, and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. But it's, you know, just different crazy little things that...
But it's things, yeah, it's things that normally people wouldn't think of, all those little things.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and for me to step down into one of those runs is extremely hard.
Yeah.
Extremely hard.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
to clean up after the dog and yeah. to, you know, hose it down and everything.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too. So the floors are definitely
the floors
a problem for you.
Because miserable. And also the wood. The wood is probably one of the worst nightmares because, again, we did have a flea problem last summer, and which we'd never had before.
And this and floor is the perfect environment.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you, like you said, it's uneven, and it's a great place for them to hide.
And no matter how much, with the diatomaceous earth and all the, you know, we were trying to use chemicals that were completely safe for the dogs, and the Capstar, and the Advantage just wasn't working them anymore, and it was, again, probably one of the worst nightmares that I've ever gone through, and that extremely expensive mm-hmm. to keep buying different product mm-hmm. time after time after time, and you know it's this old wooden building.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would happen if the renovation didn't come around?
I'd probably, I hate to say it, but the building's falling down. And I don't think I could probably keep going.
What would that do to you, though? Because I know, like, this is
me
your life.
Me, personally, that would destroy me. It really would.
Yeah, because this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned if we're going to let that happen.
Yes, yeah. That ain't going to happen.
No, right. Not in our watch, anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, Marilyn, I think that... You know, there are so many wonderful rescues, but I think because you're right on the property, too, you know what I mean? It's like you're living this,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, this is your life every single day, and they become like your kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you are like the mama hen to these
dogs.
Because at
least, I mean, you know, they're whining out here, or if somebody gets hurt, you can run out. If they were off the property, I suppose it would be out of sight, sort of out of mind. I don't.
The thing about it is that you just said something that registered with me. You know, you've been around these dogs for so long that you know their sounds. You know what their sounds mean.
Yeah.
And that's so incredible, because I think that, like, people that do come to adopt the dogs from this place are going to not only get a dog that they're going to love, that's going to go into their family and complete their family, but they're going to have a connection with you,
right.
who has all this experience with these animals and knows all the ins and outs of them and has somebody that they can go to and say, you know, and it's not like you're dealing with all kinds of nothing, and that's not saying anything against, you know, the rescues that take care of all kinds of animals, but I think in this particular case, there's, how many greyhound rescues do you think are in this country that you know of yourself?
Oh, Lord, there's quite a few of them, but unfortunately a lot of them come and go without any breed rescue. I'm amazed at how many puppies and everything they're bringing up from down south,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of these people get in on the bandwagon and they're not following through.
Yeah.
It's too much work, and they realize how much you actually have to put.
You have to devote your life to this.
You
absolutely.
Have to.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't. 100%. You give up vacations. You give up even going out for the afternoon, you just don't have a full afternoon. You might be able to... I basically, what I do for my afternoon is I figure out, hey, I can go to Demoulas, I can go to Home Depot if I have to, but I've got to get back for the afternoon turnout. And then, you know, even if you go out with a friend, you're a nervous wreck because you know you've got to get back.
The dogs are on your mind.
I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, it's really like these dogs, right when they walk in here, I mean, they have you, you know, you're like their real caretaker. It's not just...
No, but I mean, it's what you've got to do. And especially when they're in crates like that, they can't hold it.
Yep.
Yeah. Would you want them to just sit in those cages and say, hey, look, she may be back at 9 o'clock tonight.
What do you do at night, actually? What happens at nighttime?
Well, at nighttime, again, when you guys leave, I'll be feeding them, letting them out again, and then I'll come out before I go to bed, and they'll go out. The final turnout isn't long, I'll be honest with you. It's just quick.
But I mean, like, what time are you back in the morning time, then?
Actually, because I'm in a close neighborhood, I don't come out here normally until about 9:30 mm-hmm. in the morning, because next door, the woman on the left-hand side, her husband was an invalid, and he needed his sleep and everything, so we sort of made an arrangement, because I used to come out here at 6:30, and she said, could you
amazing because so many people, you're accommodating the dogs, but yet you're accommodating the people. You're looking out for the people around.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you are in a residential neighborhood and you've been here for all these years,
right,
speaks volumes of who you are as a person to these people that are your neighbors, too.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. You'll get along.
Marilyn, so my question is, so you're doing, I mean, this is 30 years, right? I mean, because if it was 82...
Actually, it was 86 that I started.
Okay, so 20, let's say 25.
Whatever it is,
We're going to take a quick commercial break, but we will be right back with Gimme Shelter as we talk to Marilyn Wilkovitz, the president of the Greyhound Adoption Services, where we are going to be tearing down and rebuilding this amazing rescue starting in September. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to KidsFootLocker.com and enter the code AFPLR1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFPLR2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at KidsFootLocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk?
then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So every day, you know, not, I know someone dragged you on a vacation once, six or seven years ago, right? Yes. So every day, you know, maybe you go to Market Basket, maybe you go to Home Depot, but you're here, you're doing this.
I have to be.
But my question is why?
Why? Because I love the dogs. I do love them. And I really like this new group of dogs. You're learning each and every one of their personalities. You want to take them out, see what they're like, their little idiosyncrasies mm-hmm. and everything, so that when somebody walks through the door, I want to be able to say, Carly has such and such a personality. And also you want to tell them the downside of each and every dog. There's certain ones that have their problems. And
yeah.
Got to know that personality of each and every dog to warn people or
to properly place the animals.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Because you don't want that animal returned.
The thing is so many people don't do what you do. And I, you know what I personally feel? I feel like, little do you know, you were, as much as you have the obviously the love for the animals, I think you were picked for this.
I do too.
I feel the dogs picked you.
I really do, Marilyn.
I think the dogs somehow picked you. I think. Or some unseen force said, you know, these dogs are going to need help, and you have, there's a reason why you love all these dogs and why you're so good with them. I mean, obviously you dedicate yourself to it. Now with your people that come in to help you, like you said, they all come in just on their own free will because they want to help out. Yeah. What's the longest person that's been at your side helping you out?
Oh gosh, probably. Deborah's been with me for a long time. Judy, Natalie. I mean, there's, been a long time going. There's other people that were around for years, but then, you know, they had to work or do something else besides, you know.
So you've had quite a few people come and help you all different.
Yeah.
Do you find that the particular age group that tends to gravitate towards this?
Yeah, and I've also found it's strange to say, but it's more the well-educated people that tend to be the volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you schedule the people to come in, like for different walkings, or is it just, oh, you're here to help?
No, it's just, I schedule, I tell them what time to come, because, again, I've got to let out my own dogs, too, in between, so.
But that kind of helps you have coverage.
Oh, yeah. Even when, you know, again, I had the knee surgery, and I've had other surgeries over the years that people have had to come in and cover for me. So, I mean, that's a major thing, too, is you've got to
sometimes
have
to
people
look after yourself.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People need to step in.
Especially when shattered my leg and all that.
Right. Wow.
Oh, yeah, I've got a plate in my leg and my ankle.
Around here?
I was cat testing a dog out front, and there is still a stone wall out there, and I didn't see the cat, the dog did. And she pulled me over.
God.
And I didn't realize that my ankle, I knew my foot was going totally backward, but I didn't realize the damage that my leg had sustained. When they told me, well, number one, your leg is broken. And then, you know, I knew the foot was going backward. So they had to put a pin through that overnight. You know, they told me, you know, they could repair it the next morning. And then I'm saying, while I was in the hospital, I said, now, we don't, because I remember my husband saying, we got to get the dogs fostered. We got to do something. We've got to find somebody to take care of these dogs. What do you mean? I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to be doing it.
It's
going
to be home tonight.
No, that's exactly my mindset. Was I was going to be back. I was going to be doing the kennel again.
Yeah.
Except it didn't quite work that way.
So did a bunch of volunteers and people come and help?
Actually, what we ended up doing was the dogs that were in crates and some of them that were in pens went into foster homes and everything.
Good.
Which, thank God, most of the foster homes ended up falling in love and adopting the dogs, which was great. But no, I just never, because I just don't believe when I get anything happens to me that I'm going to be down, because that's not my mindset.
Well, you have Lyme disease as well, right? So you've got the knee problems, you've got the Lyme disease.
Yeah.
And then,
now, how's that affect you day to day?
Yeah.
Well, it hurts.
Yeah.
I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm.
But you've just learned to manage your pain over the years, all this pain that you
have. Oh, no, it's only been the last year that actually the knee started acting up and
Floor and nice graded out back would make a big giant difference right there. Yeah,
because I mean, again, it's just when you're any regular person walking across this floor, it's
tough.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yep,
and you don't know if you trip up over a board that's sort of
up
in the air and out back again when you're trying to. And coming even up into the kennel, that area by the pond, it's with the water that when we have bad rainstorms, it sort of gouged it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even hard.
Right.
Walking up there.
But the whole path that's up
in front. It's, it's miserable.
Yeah.
Even for normal people like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see quite a few things that could be done with that, you know. There's quite a few things that could be done with that and done right out here in front of the place. And I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be something like as an actual laying down.
We should look at
the pavers or something like that.
Yeah, we're really focusing on.
My concern is the grounds. My concern is my big concern is drains, and my big concern is grounds. Is everything from the entrance of coming up through fencing, dealing with our back here, because that's just going to have to be squared away. You can do the building and everything, but if it's difficult to get to the building, and especially in the wintertime, you have to make a surface, make something that's easy to keep clear so the animals will be able to walk too, and you'll be able to transfer animals because you have to go out through the front.
Oh, yeah.
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 So you have to have something that's safe.
The drainage is pretty bad too.
Well,
we talked about it before. Yeah, it's actually going into catch basins that are located in several different places. So, but one of them that was done, sand, when they covered it back up and stuff, they think the sand got into the actual, got into catch. The thing, so it's actually not doing the job it can. It's filtering something, but it's not doing what it could.
Yeah,
and then you get the heavy rains, like she was saying, you get the heavy rains and that's it, you know, and
starts to,
she said it's actually filled up pretty deep in some of those before, so, you know.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that could be addressed.
Put it on the list of men.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to mentally, I'm going to write down a bunch of junk anyways tonight and kind of put some stuff together and get an idea.
Take some measurements as well today.
Yeah, we could do that.
Take a measurement.
Take some measurements.
Of the grand scale of things outside.
Yeah, let's do that.
At least we can, that'll start with our.
Yeah, because I got my Rolly measure deal and I got another big tape too.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those long ones. I'll have like 100.
That's all right. We'll just get it.
Stack.
Yeah.
Before it gets dark. Right. So, Marilyn, last question. So, September rolls around, right? And we do this whole. So, it's a new. What does a new rescue feel like to you?
Oh, God. Can't even explain it. Oh, God. It'd be fabulous.
Yeah. Make life easier.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
For everyone, including the dogs, too.
Well, that's the major thing.
Yeah.
The poor dogs, I mean, that.
Well, they look pretty loved to me.
The thing is,
they're gonna make do whatever they've got anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they can have a better place and something that's easier
on you.
Easier
to maintain and for the care, the facility to match the care. I think that's like the whole sort of, you know, thing for this. And so when people come in, as we started the podcast, they're not, you know, deterred from coming in. So, all right, Marilyn, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right, signing off.
Good luck.
We're off to measure.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.